and felt this good in years. After elaborating on why he opted for fusion surgery, he praised his doctors and said his prognosis for returning to golf was positive. There's a long way to go, but as I said, words cannot convey how good it feels to be pain-free. He posted that statement on May 24, 2017. 5 days later, Woods took a potentially lethal cocktail of drugs. Dilaudid, a controlled substance prescribed for severe pain, Vicodin, another powerful opiate used for pain relief, Xanax, an anti-anxiety medication also used to help treat sleep deprivation, THC, the active ingredient in marijuana, and Ambien, an anti-insomnia medication, and lost consciousness while behind the wheel of his Mercedes sports car. Shortly after 2 a.m., an officer from the Jupiter Police Department pulled up behind Tiger's car, which was stopped in the right-hand lane in the 2900 block of Military Trail, just south of Indian Creek Parkway. Both tires on the driver's side were blown out, and the rims were damaged. The right blinker was flashing, the brake lights were illuminated, and the engine was still running. After activating his flashing red and blue lights and turning on his dash cam, the officer approached the passenger side and shined his flashlight through the window, observing Woods, whose eyes were closed. Tapping on the window, the officer jarred him awake and gave instructions to put the vehicle in park and turn off the engine. Dazed, Woods struggled to open his eyes as he fumbled for the button to lower the window while the officer repeatedly asked him to put the car in park. Finally complying, Tiger managed to find his license and hand it to the officer, who examined it. Woods was 15 miles from home, but he was heading in the opposite direction. "Where were you coming from?" the officer asked. "Jupiter," Woods said. "Where were you going?" "Jupiter," he repeated, starting to nod off again. As the officer returned to his cruiser to run Tiger's license, Woods leaned back against the headrest and closed his eyes. Moments later, a second officer approached the driver's side of the Mercedes, asking Woods where he was coming from. "L.A., he said this time, adding that he was on his way to Orange County. The officer informed Tiger that he was in Florida, not Southern California. The officer asked Woods to step out of the car, and he leaned on the door to steady himself. Noting that Tiger's shoes were untied, the officer asked if he wanted to tie them. When Woods explained that he couldn't bend down that far, the officer observed that his speech was slurred, and his eyes were so droopy that he could scarcely keep them open. All the while, the dash cam video was running. Swaying and using his arms to balance himself, Woods failed a series of standard roadside sobriety tests. Once the greatest athlete in the world, he was now unable to walk in a straight line. "Sir, I want you to go ahead and place your hands behind your back," one officer said, as the other applied handcuffs. Tiger's arrest for driving while impaired took place the day before Memorial Day, a slow news day. By midday Memorial Day, his mugshot, droopy eyes, scruffy face, disheveled hair had set the internet ablaze. The New York Post and the Daily News put it in their front pages with an identical bold headline, "DUI of the Tiger." Other headlines were equally merciless. "Watch the birdie, bleary-eyed Tiger Woods doesn't look to be in championship form in his mugshot. Master of his own demise, catatonic." After spending the night in Palm Beach County Jail, Woods was released around noon. Later that day, a spokesman issued a statement. "I understand the severity of what I did, and I take full responsibility for my actions. I want the public to know that alcohol was not involved. What happened was an unexpected reaction to prescribed medications. I didn't realize the mix of medications had affected me so strongly." The fact that he had recorded a zero for alcohol on a breath test was beside the point. The urine sample he provided after his arrest confirmed that Woods was living in what some experts refer to as a new kind of jail for the opiate age. By combining the opiates Vicodin and Dilaudid with the powerful sedatives Xanax and Ambien, plus THC, Woods had put his life at risk, not to mention the lives of other motorists when he got behind the wheel. Vicodin, for example, can cause respiratory distress and death when taken in high doses or when combined with other substances. And Xanax can impair memory, judgment, and coordination. Taken together, they can suppress breathing and lead to a high risk of addiction, overdose, and impairment. Woods certainly wasn't alone. Drug overdoses are now the leading cause of death among Americans under 50, with overdose deaths totaling 52,404 in 2016, the most in U.S. history. but it's safe to say that no other individual struggling with an addiction to prescription drugs did so under more scrutiny and with more public humiliation than Woods. With news agencies seeking access to details about Tiger's arrest, authorities in Florida released extensive video of him stumbling through his roadside sobriety tests and talking incoherently while in police custody. The footage aired on CBS, ABC, NBC, Fox, and CNN, and on a host of news websites. More than a million viewers watched clips on YouTube. Tiger needed help, not ridicule and condemnation. And not long after his arrest, he received a call from Olympic swimmer Michael Phelps. Along with winning 28 Olympic medals, Phelps was twice arrested for DUI and spent 8 weeks in a treatment facility seeking help for anxiety and depression. After his release from the Meadows in Arizona, Phelps devoted himself to helping others deal with the stigma of addiction and mental illness. I want to be able to get out in public and talk and say, yes, I've done these great things in the pool, but I'm also a human, Phelps said. I'm going through the same struggles as a lot of people. One of the people Phelps had helped was Tiger's close friend, Nota Begay III, a recovering alcoholic who reached out to the swimmer. From Begay's perspective, Phelps was one of the few people in the world who had the credibility and experience to reach Tiger at such a critical time. Phelps looked at Tiger's arrest through a unique lens. I feel like that's a massive scream for help, he said. The first time Woods spoke to Phelps, the phone call lasted 2 hours. It was the beginning of an important new friendship, facilitated by other friends who cared deeply for Tiger. Begay and Phelps had both walked the road of treatment and recovery, and together, they joined forces to offer a lifeline to a man drowning in pain and despair. We weren't looking at trying to salvage a golf career, Begay said. We were trying to salvage someone's life and future. Chapter 35, Making the Cut. Tiger beamed as his 10-year-old daughter Sam and 8-year-old son Charlie posed for pictures with Lionel Messi, the greatest soccer player in the world. It was a private moment of parental pride, the kind of which most moms or dads could only dream. Since both of his children played soccer, Tiger had arranged a private audience for them with Messi while his Spanish club, FC Barcelona, was in Florida for a preseason match in July 2017. "Isn't it neat to meet a living legend?" Tiger said to his kids. "Yeah," Sam said. "We live with one." Her response drew laughs. It also got Tiger thinking seriously about the fact that his kids had never seen him play in his prime. Sam was around when her dad won the first of his 14 major championships, but she was too young to remember. And Charlie was still a toddler when Tiger won his last PGA Tour trophy at the 2013 WGC Bridgestone Invitational. How great would it be to have one of them carry my bag in a tournament, Woods wondered. Imagine what it would be like for them to see me win again. Imagination had always set Woods apart from everyone else. He didn't just conceive impossible shots and unprecedented performances. He willed them into reality. One of the most devastating effects of being derailed by years of chronic pain was that it robbed Tiger of his creative genius. But now that he was 3 months removed from spinal fusion surgery, Woods was experiencing one of life's greatest feelings, freedom from pain. For the first time in a long while, he had his mobility back. He'd also been through treatment for misusing prescription drugs. In the wake of his arrest and public humiliation, Woods had quietly checked himself into a clinic in June. During inpatient care, he got his reliance on pain medication under control. It had taken being lost on the side of a road just 15 miles from home to convince him that he needed help. "I'm proud of him," Mark Steinberg said after Tiger entered treatment. "He's going to get himself right to be able to essentially lead a healthy lifestyle." Steinberg, like others who were concerned for Woods, was focused on Tiger the human being, not Tiger the golfer. The quiet support from friends and other elite athletes buoyed Woods, helping him to emerge from the clinic determined to finally start that delayed second chapter of his life. Perhaps the best indication that he had turned a corner came at the U.S. Open Tennis Championships in New York City in late August and early September 2017, where he had gone to watch his friend Rafael Nadal. Nadal's quarterfinal match drew a flock of celebrities: Uma Thurman, Bill Gates, Leonardo DiCaprio, Jerry Seinfeld, Juliana Margulies. Woods, however, stood out as the only celebrity parent who went to the tournament with two children in tow. No longer inhibited by a damaged disc in his lower back, he was spending the kind of quality time with his children that his father had spent with him. And while his children sat with him in Nadal's box, Woods was on the verge of something far greater and more impressive than his 14 major championships and 79 PGA Tour wins. Redemption. Woods had hit rock bottom in May 2017. The Tiger Woods who stumbled and slurred his words in the police video shot during his arrest was the polar opposite of the Tiger Woods who once pumped his fist on the world's most prestigious golf courses and smiled charismatically in television commercials for the likes of Nike and American Express. During an 8-year span stretching back to his 2009 SUV crash, Woods had lost his marriage, his reputation, his iconic status, and his health. The sheer height from which he'd fallen would have destroyed most mortals, but Tiger Woods never behaved or reacted the way most people do. While Earl's methods for instilling extreme mental toughness in his child prodigy are open to questioning, Tiger did end up with an indefatigable will. He always knew he was different. He practiced longer, trained harder, and prepared more relentlessly. No one had ever been so dominant in every aspect of golf. But after his arrest, Woods became different in a new way. For once, his uniqueness had nothing to do with athleticism or talent. Instead, he was channeling all that he learned and inherited from his parents to rise up, dust himself off, and begin anew. It started with the willingness to face his new reality. In August 2017, he entered a DUI first offender program. Then on October 27th, surrounded by 8 uniformed officers, Woods entered a courtroom in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, accepted full responsibility for his actions, and pleaded guilty to reckless driving. He was put on probation for 12 months and required to submit to regular drug testing, complete DUI school, and perform 50 hours of community service. The first public test came at the end of the year at the Hero World Challenge, a tournament that Woods hosts each year in the Bahamas to raise money for his foundation. Dating back to the tournament's inception in 2000, it had always been an unofficial event, a guaranteed payday that drew some of the top golfers in the world. On November 30th, 2017, more top players than usual were on hand, but viewers from around the world tuned in for one reason and one reason only, to see Tiger Woods play golf for the first time since his fusion surgery. As he approached the first tee, there were almost as many cameramen as spectators. The last time he'd played competitive golf, 301 days earlier, he could barely swing his club. The question on everyone's mind today was whether his surgically fused back would hold up. As Woods prepared to tee off, he spotted Rafael Nadal. The number one tennis player in the world was vacationing with his family in the Bahamas and had decided to show up unannounced to show his support. Tiger's face lit up. Then he ripped a drive that landed 30 yards ahead of the ball of his playing partner, Justin Thomas. Before long, he made his first birdie. A little while later, his trademark fist pump followed a long putt for par. And in a show of solidarity, athletes from around the world chimed in on Twitter. "It's a great day to see at Tiger Woods back on the golf course," wrote Bo Jackson. "The wait is over. The wait is over," said Stephen Curry. "Pumped to be watching at Tiger Woods back out there," Michael Phelps wrote. Woods shot 3 rounds in the 60s and finished the tournament tied for 9th in an all-star field of 18. But by every measure, Tiger was winning at something bigger than golf. Other than taking an anti-inflammatory pill ahead of each round as recommended by his doctor, Woods was medication-free. There was no more wincing when he swung or bent over. He was all smiles after his finish on Sunday. He didn't pretend that he felt like he did in his 20s. He was honest about the fact that no one in his 40s feels the way he did in his 20s. It was another admission of truth that made him increasingly relatable. The personal struggles of Tiger Woods humanized him in ways that had never been possible during his single-minded ascent to the top of the golf world. Tiger was never going to live up to the outlandish expectation of making a greater impact on the world than Martin Luther King Jr., Gandhi, and Nelson Mandela. Nor had he ever demonstrated a desire to follow in the footsteps of Muhammad Ali or Arthur Ashe when it came to activism on issues of race and social justice. As it turned out, Woods hadn't even improved the racial integration of the PGA Tour. Despite all his success, only one African-American, Harold Varner III, was on the tour at the start of 2018, and only a handful of current elite junior golfers are black. Nevertheless, Tiger's determination to fight his way back from frailties and bouts of addiction was irresistible to fans. After his performance in the Bahamas, Ticket sales for the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines in late January 2018 underwent the equivalent of electric shock treatment as soon as Woods announced he would be participating in the event. Unsure what to expect from himself, Tiger was greeted by adoring crowds that turned out to watch him play a practice round prior to the start of the tournament. During the press conference that followed, Tiger used the word fun no less than 9 times when describing the current state of his life. "My expectations have tempered a little bit because I haven't played," he said. "I haven't played a full schedule since 2015. It's been a long time. To be honest with you, I just want to start playing on the tour and getting into a rhythm of playing a schedule again." This was the new Tiger Woods. At 42, his cheeks were thicker and his hairline more circuitous. He was heavier and had wrinkles on his neck. But just before 10:40 a.m. on Thursday, January 25th, 2018, he left the putting greens and made his way through a gauntlet of fans shouting, "Come on, Tiger! Let's go, Tiger!" Hundreds of spectators had swarmed the first tee at Torrey Pines South, with thousands more lined up 20 deep along both sides of the fairway. Suddenly, an old familiar feeling returned. Everyone is looking at me. The other players, the packed gallery, viewers watching on television, he still had the aura. What a great feeling. It may have been a Thursday morning in January at Torrey Pines, but it felt more like a Sunday afternoon in April at Augusta. 10 years earlier, on the same Torrey Pines course, Woods had won the U.S. Open, his last major championship, while playing with a broken leg. The sport had changed so much since then. A parade of young stars, Rory, Dustin, Jordan, Ricky, Justin, and John, had taken their turn in the spotlight, but none of them were in Tiger's league. Consider, Ricky Fowler had 3 PGA Tour wins at age 27. Tiger had 34 at the same age. It took Jordan Spieth 112 tour starts to get his 10th win. Tiger got there in 63. Dustin Johnson won his only major at age 31. At the same age, Tiger had won 12. As much as they liked the idea of having Woods back on tour, none of the young guns had any idea what it was like to compete against Tiger in his prime. Meanwhile, more seasoned pros noticed one big change. Tiger's surly, stone-faced demeanor had been replaced by a smiling, engaging one. Perhaps the most telling example came on Thursday on the par 5 13th hole, after Woods somehow missed a 2.5-foot putt for par. If Tiger was angry with himself, it didn't show. As he walked off the green and headed toward the 14th tee, he looked up and noticed the abundance of military personnel packed into the stands behind the green. A Marine in full dress had been holding the flag as players putted out. It was Torrey's tribute to a military town. Pausing, Woods acknowledged the men and women in uniform. The gesture thrilled one longtime tour insider. He never, ever, ever would have done that before, the observer said. He would have had his head down and not seen a thing. Now he was looking up and taking it all in, smelling the roses. But could an older, transformed Woods still muster the trademark killer instinct that had enabled him to crush one pro after another for so many years? For most of the first 2 days, Tiger fought a driver that betrayed him on virtually every hole, only to grind his way, if not into contention, to a realistic chance of making the 36-hole cut. On Friday, Woods faced a do-or-die situation, the kind of test he'd routinely aced in the past. It came on his final hole of the day, the par 5 ninth, on the tighter, tougher, redesigned North Course. Woods found himself some 80 feet away from the hole in 2 shots. Desperately needing a 2-stroke birdie to have a shot at playing on the weekend, he stalked the putt like the Tiger of old. Then he slowly drew back his putter and sent the ball streaking toward the cup before it slowly rolled to a stop a mere 8 inches from the cup. Amid a chorus of cheers, he tapped in for birdie and wound up making the cut. Smiling, he removed his cap, waved to the crowd, and shook hands with his playing partner, Patrick Reed. On the same weekend, when 36-year-old tennis star Roger Federer further redefined the limits of age by winning his 20th Grand Slam singles title at the Australian Open, Woods dominated the headlines by completing a PGA Tour event for the first time in nearly 900 days. By the time he finished his round on Sunday, the sports world was experiencing a sense of deja vu. Final round ratings for the CBS Sports telecast were up 38% from the year before, giving the tournament its best Sunday numbers in 5 years, since the last time Woods won at Torrey. It proved once more that as long as he's competing, Tiger is the golfer that people care about the most. Woods' performance tempted journalists to suggest that his return to competitive golf was something of a miracle. Perhaps it was, given the depth of his descent into a dark, cavernous hole that has swallowed so many child stars, actors, musicians, athletes. Tiger's greatest victory was not in golf, but rather in his journey back into the light, and for the first time in many years, into life. A changed man, he stood poised to show his children and the fresh generation of golf pros and fans just what a living legend looks like. Tiger Woods was written by Jeff Benedict and Armin Katayan, and read by Roger Casey. Editing and post-production by Common Mode, Paul Fowley, technical director. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio. Tiger Woods is available in print from Simon & Schuster.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.